that stuff. You know, murder, mayhem, and taking over territory. This is the first time in history nearly that immigration has come into America. Of course, we all started that way, and on the whole, it's been peaceful. So we're not dealing, look at me, folks, we're not dealing with something new. Yes? So I think we need to get over all of like, wow, why don't, we should have known what to do a long time ago. Now, I'm going to discuss a couple of things. I'm going to erase this first before we get into the notes. But I'm actually only going to want to deal with one principle this morning. And it's not point one, it's right before point one. Because if we don't understand this principle, everything I'm going to say is going to be more words that you listen to and go back to sleep. Let's read these verses together. Let's stand, please, so some of us are awake at least during that period of time. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess, and it typically mentions the fact that she's a Moabite, said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean grain. Yes? Barley, to be specific. How do we know that? The previous verse, it was barley harvest. Wow. She goes after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, the King James says, the word happen, she happened to happen upon in Hebrew, or she chanced to chance upon part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. So not only does she go out and goes to work in the fields, but Boaz tells her, do it right here. Verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Verse 15, and when she had arisen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Now, this is a little bit more than just what we're going to talk about next week or the week after. If this was your field, there was biblical requirements at the corners of your fields. And if I could say this, I think the principle is bigger than that. The difficult places, you weren't supposed to harvest. So don't harvest the difficult places. So instead of harvesting the difficult places, what should you do? Well, what you should do is allow other people, but Boaz adds to that. So as the men are in here in the middle of their field and they're going along harvesting, they're to allow her to harvest right along beside them in the actual main field. It even says more than that. Verse 16 says, and the King James says it in a very odd way, let fall also some of the hands full of purpose. Otherwise, do it in a purposeful way. And leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto evening, beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That's a lot of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, in shock, where in the world have you been working today? What field did you go into? By the way, I'm speaking literally. Did you get that? She's shocked. How did you do this in one day? Blessed is he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, The man's name whom I wrought today is Boaz. We're going to pray and then get started. Father, I ask your blessing on this day. May this be a profitable time. Amen. You may be seated. Are we ready for the only important thing you're going to hear all day? Yes or no? You sure? The story of Ruth and the story of Boaz is not a nice emotional story. It's actually a story of a man. By the way, I said this last week. I preached entire sermon on this 5 or 6 years ago. He's the only man in the Bible, 5 or 6 times, I didn't look it up this week, he is called Ha'ish, the man. That's not normal, where you put the before the man and call somebody the man. Because there's something unique about Boaz. He lived in the days of the judges. A period about like America today, where even religious people do whatever is right in their own eyes. And the difference today, though, we call it grace. It's grace. It's grace. By the way, Jude 4, you probably should read it sometime and find out what God thinks about that kind of behavior. You know, those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord, the only despotes, the only, meaning Jesus is my buddy, but he's not the one that tells me what to do. Yeah. Anyhow, Boaz was a different guy. So under the immigration statement, this is really the most important thing that I can say. Boaz wasn't merely being kind. He was obeying or implementing the scripture. May I say that again? He wasn't merely being kind. This isn't some, oh, this is so sweet. That's what religious people think. That's what goopy Americans think. Boaz was actually commanded to do most of what he did, with one exception, at least in chapter 2. He wasn't commanded to let her eat at his place or to let her go right out in the field and reap. But he was directly commanded to allow Ron Alexander, which three groups were the Bible commands Boaz to allow to reap in his field? Give me the three groups. Anybody, raise your hand. Frenchie.
Widows for one.
Widows for one.
Children.
Orphans. Or foreigners. And she was 2 of 3. By the way, this isn't religion. This isn't if you love Jesus, love Jesus. This is if you love Jesus, keep his commandments. How about that? It's Christianity. Why do I say this? Oh my goodness. Sometimes I feel like, do I have to play the same record every week? All right, I better take a breath. Some of you are going to get nervous. Now, before I go any further, I told Jim he's supposed to be helping me this week because he is my, I was going to say Antichrist, but he is that too. He's the one that has all the, you know, other outside ideas. When you go back to American history, I think I taught this for about a year and a half. Church, state. At the very beginning, in 1620, there was no separation of church and state. The Puritans, some of my forefathers, came here, and they wanted religious freedom for themselves. Yes. They were great people. They were very similar to us. They had no idea of religious freedom. As far as we know, the first person in America was a Baptist by the name of Roger Williams, kind of an oddball. But the Baptists, right up front, got religious freedom, but you had to hear the kind they had. They believe this, and by the way, if you're really nice and you want to pay me money, Dr. Saxon gave me something that he studied in his doctorate at Bob Jones, where you actually have Roger Williams' statements and write letters and all of that and John Cotton's together. So you can see the Puritan view and the Baptist view right up front. And basically, what they believe was this. Williams believed there's a separation, and the church controlled the first 4 commandments. Of course, that would mean you'd actually have to know what those are. And then 5 through 10 was the job of the state. So, meaning they believed in religious freedom. Roger Williams said, it doesn't make any difference what you are. If you believe in what Roger Williams, another guy said it this way, another, was it John Leland, said, I don't care if you believe in one God, 3 gods, 10 gods, or no gods. Makes no difference. It's not the job of the state to enforce religion. However, it is the job of the state to enforce the second tablet of the law. Lying, stealing, killing, how you treat people. Are you all with me? So it was not freedom like whatever. Now, I'm going to read you a little something. Now, my Antichrist guy up here, Duncan, probably had something to do with this. This is the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, you know, in the Bible bust. An online memo advising employees at the University of Tennessee to make sure holiday celebrations aren't Christmas parties in disguise has put school officials under fire. The memo, Best Practices, I love this kind of talk, for inclusive holiday celebrations in the workplace, has been posted on the school's website by the Office of for Diversity and Inclusion. Now, of course, that's got to be some of the funniest stuff I've heard. By the way, I cannot recommend the book because it's got something in it that's wrong, but the best book ever written is 1984 by George Orwell, where you learn to speak like this, where everything they say means its opposite. So, diversity and inclusion. So it goes on to say, it also says holiday celebrations should not play games with religious themes such as Secret Santa. I didn't know Secret Santa was about Christmas. I thought Santa was just Santa. Now I got redneck fundamentalists condemning Christmas because of the devil Santa Claus. And now I got pagans thinking Santa Claus is Christmas. Man, we are really confused. Santa Claus is like, hello, look at me. Make believe? Whew. Okay. It goes on to say, and the selection of decor and refreshment should be general, not specific to any religion or culture. How do you include all cultures when you exclude all cultures? Ensure your holiday party is not a Christmas party in disguise. On Thursday, Republican U.S. Senator or Representative John Duncan appeared on Fox News and called the post an example of political correctness run amok. Meanwhile, Republican state senators Dolores Gresham and Mike Bell issued a joint statement calling on Chancellor Jimmy Cheek to resign. The Office of Diversity is not welcoming to all and hostile to none, as they claim. They are very hostile to students and other Tennesseans with Christian and conservative values. By placing a virtual religious test regarding holiday events at this campus, every student who is a Christian is penalized. The Office of Diversity and Inclusion defended itself, saying, the school is a diverse campus that is not anti-Christian but pro-inclusion. But it goes, I can't tell you to read 1984, but it's like it's that double speak that we had in Russia where everything meant the opposite. We include you, but you're not included. There you go. In the statement posted on the school website Thursday, Cheek said, efforts to be inclusive have been misconstrued. First, let me say we honor Christmas as one of the celebrations of the season. We in no way trying to dismiss this very important Christmas holiday. By the way, Santa Claus is not the Christmas holiday, okay? On Friday, school spokesman Karen Ann Simpson said Cheek would not be addressing calls for his resignation. In a statement, University President Joe DiPietro said he respects the comments from lawmakers while defending Cheek's performance. Then, of course, this is another diversionary tactic, including increased retention, graduation rates, facility improvements, and growth regarding productivity. I don't know what that's got to do with the stupid. He goes on to say, now this is my favorite. I had to get to the end, save the best for last. Earlier this year, if you drive down the street and you see a menorah, are you deeply offended? I got a menorah in my office. Now, I'm not really a big fan of make-believe holidays. We've made up some of those. But this is my favorite. Only a Duncan kind of person could even write this. Earlier this year, the university received criticism after the Office of Diversity and Inclusion asked students and faculty to use gender-neutral pronouns, such as Z-E, in order to create a more inclusive campus, so we can be more welcoming to the transgender population. Z? So I don't say he or she, I say Z? So what do we have that in plural? Zoot? What is this? Zem. Zem. Thank you, Rhonda. That's better. Z and Zem. Now, by the way, what's the real problem with immigration? Now, we're going to speak on this for the rest of the month of December, probably. And I'm going to have Antichrist be my Antichrist during this time. But I want to say this. Really, the problem with our America is not immigration. The problem is we don't know who we are. Now, if you're a conspiratorialist, you know, you think the boogeyman is behind everything, you fit right into this stuff. Because I don't think there's anything secret about the agenda of the left. They're doing it right in front of us. A conspiracy means something secret. There's no secret here. You say, what's the big problem with the inclusion? Immigration. Folks, from 1620s, to probably the 1870s, most of the people that immigrated in America were from Northern Europe, and they were Protestant. Never a problem. After that, we had a group of Catholics come in, and there were some real problems because we were wondering, can those Catholics fit in America? And the answer is, frankly, if they'd understood Roger Williams, not their religion, but yes, as long as they obey, yes. The problem is, you already know what the problem is. We don't have this Judeo-Christian backdrop anymore. So the problem with immigration in America is we don't know who we are. So nobody can assimilate, so they assimilate like the person out in California that their lawyer now says the reason he went on this rampage is because someone made fun of his beard. Bullying. By the way, when you hear bullying, there's a place bullying is wrong. But there's a place where your children got to get used to an element of bullying. You think you're going to be in the workplace and no one's going to say you're stupid? Yes, because the bullying is about certain things. By the way, you understand that's the biggest problem America has. If you went into Israel in Ruth's time, you knew something. This was a Jewish place. And if you were coming here, you're going to have to put up with the Jewishness. Unfortunately, America lost its Christianity, and Barack Obama flat out says this isn't a Christian nation. And frankly, he's probably right. I would say he's even right among Bible-believing Baptists. It doesn't really make a lot of difference what we believe. That didn't have a lot of impact out there. Now, you understand that's Pastor Warren's introduction. That's where we're at. Our real problem, you can have immigration as long as you can then assimilate into a culture. What if you don't have a culture? Every man for himself. That's really the struggle we're facing right now. And we don't have to have a far-right kind of Christianity. By the way, all we have to do is say, here's kind of what America is. Here's our laws. We have this thing. It's not make-believe. It's not what Barack Obama says it is. It's called the Constitution. We have a declaration. We have some amendments. Have you ever read them? This is who it means to be an American. If you want to come, you assimilate to this. You don't bring Sharia law. You don't bring your garbage from your country. You can keep your language. You can keep your food. You can look differently, but you got to fit into this part of the business. By the way, to me, that seems pretty simple. I don't think it's very simple in America. Comments, questions, thoughts? Walter. Yeah, and actually, we're not even sure that works anymore. People get offended at that now. Yes, we're a melting pot. It used to be everybody became the same. Now we're in the same place, but we're all distinct. And by the way, I understand, Walter, if I can say this. Tony Cardenas grew up in Texas. His family they'd been in Texas for 4 or 5 generations, so it isn't like they're newcomers. His family may be longer. His wife's family, like 3. They were beaten as a kid on the hands for speaking one word of Spanish. You can speak more than one language. Languages don't make you not American. You have to be able to speak English sooner or later, and your children do to succeed. Just like if you dropped yourself off in China, sooner or later, you're going to have to speak Mandarin. Duh. You go to France, you're going to have to speak French. You go to Germany, you're going to have to speak German. That doesn't mean in the past we probably did the melting pot, frankly, too much, where we made everybody totally obliterate everything from their background. I don't know all the answers to this, but I will say this. We have to have some kind of unity, or we just have a bunch of warring states. It's my opinion. Other thoughts, comments, questions? Old man.
My dad ran into the same problem. He was naturally left-handed.
So let me tell you, I don't know if that's part of what we're discussing, Frenchie, but my father was left-handed, and he forced my brother to write right-handed. He forced my brother. Just think about that. Any of you guys that fought in the war in World War II or Korea would know why, because the M1 Grand, the bullet went the wrong direction when you were shooting left-handed. It came right into your face. So Dad said, I don't want my son being left-handed. But that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Let's move on. Everybody awake? By the way, whose country are you living in? May I ask you, do me a favor? Drop all conspiracies. There ought not to ever be a conspiracy in this church. None of this is conspiratorial. It's right in your face. Conspiracies are things that are hidden. What's hidden about this? We've lost our country. All right, in your notes. I say in your notes, this is kind of where we were last week. This does not answer all questions, since I or we are prisoners of Scripture or text. At least I am. The other issues must be dealt with applying other Christian and natural law principles, such as, you know, citizenship, borders. I don't have answers to some of that stuff. I don't know. We can't have everybody come to America. Now, how far did we get last week? Did we do the first point, Rhonda? You always know everything.
Yes, we got to the first point. I had my page flipped, but I didn't have anything.
All right, so I'm going to give you the first point again, and then we'll move from there. The first concept that Boaz provided that is essential is this concept, safety from any and all oppression. I think I went down on the front page under the Judges verses, we won't read anymore, and I asked this question. Any person traveling abroad will immediately think, am I what? And folks, think about this. In America today, actually, American culture dominates the world. So in most places on earth, people dress like we dress. But it wasn't that long ago. If you went to another country, you knew you were in the country because people dressed differently. Dress was different every place. So when Ruth finds herself in Bethlehem, some of you are thinking, well, how could you tell Ruth wasn't from around here? She would have dressed differently. Yes? Her dress? You say, did she speak Hebrew? I'm guessing she spoke Hebrew, but she's going to speak Hebrew like someone from another country speaks Hebrew or English. So her language? Yeah, mannerisms? How about this? Do you ever do this? See, I got over that first time I went to Venezuela. That's how you call dogs. Most people don't like that in other countries. Americans do that all the time. In other countries, they do this, they do this, they do this, which that makes me nervous. But by the way, so Ruth came into a country. Look at me. Boaz, what did Boaz do to her? For her? Answer the question. He provided safety according to the scripture. Why? She had to be thinking, well, here she is. She has dress, language, elements of culture. And there's all kinds of these things. And some of them are very, very subtle. Some of you would never notice. But there's all kinds of these things that we just kind of assume. Now, if you get out of an area like this church, looking around this church with people all over the world, you go where I'm from. I've told you this. And Dave, if you do it, I'll shoot you personally today, and I don't even have a gun with me. I didn't grow up around hugging. I'm still having nightmares over Dave hugging me a few years ago. I didn't even really hug my mother. I do now. I think it's appropriate. It's cultural. Is hugging wrong or right? People are just different in all kinds of mannerisms. Americans tend to be loud, especially in airports. So she goes into this place. She's thinking, am I going to be safe? And some of you are thinking, oh, this is a nice story about Ruth and Boaz. Isn't that sweet? Boaz said some very specific things. Let's look under the verses, under the Ruth verses. Exodus 22, 21. Find it, second page. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him. Exodus 23, 9. Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger. And it's best just to say foreigner. That's what it's talking about. 19:33. And if a stranger, a foreigner, sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. 24:14, thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy or of the foreigners that are in the land within thy gates. 24:17, thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, foreigner, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. This is where we finished last week, more or less. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the foreigner, fatherless, and widow. And all the people shall say, what? I'm guessing that amen works today too, I'm pretty sure. So, folks, please look at me. In this room, I have no idea. Did everybody come here legally? Look at me in the eyes. I don't know, and I don't care. Because I'm pretty sure when my family first came here, that was not a question anybody asked, and some of them came here, wait a minute, go back to the Roger Williams stuff. If you got the horsepower, I'll make you a copy, meaning you'll actually read it. Roger Williams, the Baptist, believed that you had to pay for the land to the Native Americans. The Puritans believed that King James gave you the land. That was one of their big fights. So Roger Williams in Providence, Rhode Island, no thanks to Frenchie, those people, they bought that land from the Native Americans. They paid good money for it. So how many people have come here illegally? The number is unknown. We've had at least one Filipino in this church that came here illegally. Somebody I like very much. Somebody whose name you will not find out no matter what you do to me. He came here 100% illegal. Not that part of it wasn't illegal. He married somebody. And then, but it was a faux marriage. It was a fake marriage to get his citizenship. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking. I didn't know this for a long time. It's hilarious. You say, does that mean we need to send him back? We need to send Louis back, but Louis's not that guy. He's an American, yes. Some of this, folks, I don't know how you unwind. What do? You're illegal. Your parents were illegal. What do you go back 8 generations to find out if they came here illegally? This stuff, the Donald Trump stuff is stupid. Hello? My goodness, what are we going to do? Go back and check people's records back to the Mayflower? You came here illegally. Really? I want you to look back above that to Ruth chapter 2. Verse 9, I want you to notice what it says. Let thine eyes be on the field, Boaz says to Ruth, that they do reap, and go after them. Go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Wow. Look down at verse 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he, Boaz, said unto me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended my harvest. Verse 22, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Folks, again, we read that because this is how Americans do religion. A religion is following your emotions. Nothing to do with Scripture. Actually, all Boaz was doing was what? Not oppressing, not vexing people that were foreigners. And not only he demanded his workers do the same. By the way, think about this. Ruth was a foreign. She was a stranger in the King James language. Stranger. She was a woman. She was a widow. She was poor. So she was prime game. Correct? Here's what the Bible says. They're not prime game. They're human beings also. You treat them like they ought to be treated. You protect them. All right. Let's continue in your notes. I think I ranted about this last week, and there's only so far you can go on this. When Bush was in office, he made proposals for immigration reforms. Liberals hated it because there wasn't enough binding the immigrants to the nanny state and the Democratic Party. Conservatives hated it because they said amnesty, amnesty, amnesty. So as I say in your notes, so we did nothing. Well, not exactly nothing. We allow the same criminal underground systems to continue to operate and to continue to oppress people. Our inactivity is really activity. That's the problem. We're now under Barack Obama, which no conservative would vote for anything he wants to do. Yes? And because we all know he wants to have more Democratic voters. And on the others, but we're still right where we were. We still have a, here, folks, I said this, I'll bring this story back. Maybe you know the story right here in our church. 10, 12 years ago, David had a group of guys coming to play volleyball on Tuesday night. It got to be a pretty good group of guys. Now, David, he told me flat out, so see, I don't have any secrets here. He said, and I believe this is true, he believes everybody in this area is illegal, almost without exception. Now, is that true? Probably. Doesn't bother me. He was having this game trying to reach out to Hispanic community, and one Tuesday night, the entire group that had been there for months just disappeared. Not only they disappeared and didn't come, they never came back, and he could never reach any of them. Why is that? Something happened, Tom, don't you think? Something happened in the community. They got nervous that the immigration was going to come, and they just went into the woodwork. By the way, should we have a large group of people living like that in America? Then why can't we do something? Because we're both stupid on both sides of the aisle, in my opinion. Now, what all we should do, Pastor Warren doesn't have an opinion, because I don't know. Jim brings up things, and, you know, some of this stuff is tough. But I do believe this. People ought to be here safely, or they ought not to be here. There ought not to be all this fear, this criminal underground, and all this garbage that goes on underneath that's criminal. Folks, we shouldn't allow that in our country. We should have smart enough people to think, shouldn't we? Are we going to do something? Yeah. In your notes, the difference between these two words, and you can, of course, look them up on your own, the concept of vexing are the smaller indignities, such as name-calling, fear. You know, you always have a name for somebody. And by the way, folks, I grew up in a culture where I'm from in Southern Illinois. There were a lot of Polish jokes. I don't know why there were Polish jokes. We had no Polish people that lived by us. None. And then I come to Chicago and realize, actually, Polish jokes were Finnish jokes in Minneapolis. They were this, you know, you could use them for anybody. You have to be careful about that. I don't think you want to make someone feel. Well, I'll just ask you this question. How does it make you feel if somebody makes you feel less than human? So be very careful. Very careful about the language you use. I grew up in St. Louis area. Some of you know Yogi Berra just died. Yogi Berra was from St. Louis. He grew up on the hill. One of the guys that came to our church grew up on the hill. It's an Italian section, real Italian section of St. Louis. Joe Garagiola, for all of you older guys, played for the Cardinals for 5 minutes. He was an announcer. He grew up there. When I was a boy, the Italian people called that Dago Hill. I never knew Dago was a bad word. But for some people, I guess out east more, where there was a lot more Italians in New York, that was the way of putting people down. By the way, I actually believe the Bible forbids us using that kind of language. Hello? Hello? So you don't call somebody that's black the N-word just because you think you're cool. That's degrading. That's that vexing people, putting people down. Fear, indignation. I mean, not indignation. What word am I looking for? Indignities. Yes, intimidation also. Next, oppression. Oppression could be anything from violence to theft to rape. In many countries, if you're not from around here, you can rape women. Think about this. She was a foreigner, a woman, a widow, poor. She was fair. Look at me. You do realize you don't have to tell your workers, don't touch that woman unless. Exactly. Either they were doing or it was pretty common. So he has to tell them. I mean, these are the things that just, I think as a Christian, we cannot allow people, no matter where they're from, to be treated this way. Period. Makes sense to me. Now here's the harder part.
Would men be considered the protector for her if he
Yes, of course, especially in the ancient world where there weren't jobs. Walter, a lot of this has changed, as you know, since even World War II in America. Many women, most women, have jobs. So a widow, we don't look at, you're old enough to remember, a widow was in a bad place in the past. Now if a man dies, sometimes the wife's in a better situation. She has her own job. Maybe she had a health insurance policy. So, but in the past, they didn't have that. In the ancient world, they had nothing. So a widow was really left out. A lot of times, she couldn't even inherit what little her husband had. So she was really left out. Now, folks, to me, well, let me give you this statement. The hard part is the second part, not the first part. No Christian, as a Christians, we never vex or oppress or allow others to do so. And the others to do so is the problem. Because in America, look at me, by listening to rhetoric, please look at me, by listening to rhetoric, and I'm a conservative, you already know that, but listening to rhetoric on the right side, we now have allowed this to continue. We, you know who the we is? The we you're looking at, you and me. We have allowed this garbage to continue. So you say, Pastor Warren, I'm not doing it. What are you allowing by your vote? Now, I don't know who to vote for because Donald Trump is a Looney Tune. Hillary Clinton is Antichrist. I mean, it's like, and I'm not sure how many of the other Republicans really have a good option. Do you? It's like they talk like we're the first people that ever experienced something. I'm going to step back. Here's the problem. Because of the collapse of American culture, we don't know how to handle immigration at all. And we haven't always known how to handle it in the past. Jim talks, because you're not Irish, though, are you? Aren't you Scottish? When the Irish came here, they were loved. And after the Irish were loved, by the way, that's not the kind of love you want. After the Irish were loved, the Italians were loved. I never grew up around Italians. I grew up around two kinds of people. They were all white, and they were either Germanic last name or English last name. I never grew up with anything else, so I didn't know that there was lots of oppression out there. Look at me in the eyes. This is not, oh, Boaz, you're such a nice person. Boaz actually heard the word of God and did something. Man, if I could get a church full of people that did that, hear what God says and do it, what we could do. That's the first principle. Safety from any and all oppression. And all the church says, amen. Of course. How do you not? Next page, please. The second thing commanded was this. Equality before the law. Now, friend, I'm going to say this. This is not in your notes. We're back to the same problem. Our problem is we have people now coming from Muslim lands, and because America is so politically correct that we're a bunch of retards, you have to have law. You cannot allow people to come from other countries and use their law and give you whatever symbol they want to give you and say, I'm not listening to your laws. Yes? Now, by the way, France has been extreme. I know why, because they're 50, 100 years ahead of us. So now they're trying to get back and say, no hijab. Do I have a problem with a Muslim woman wearing that weird stuff? I don't know, but I do know this. We have to have our laws based on Christian/Western values, and people that come here need to know, if you come here, these are the laws. So when I say equality before the law, I want you to understand that means the punishment side too. Doesn't just mean I can come here and do what I want. Let's read these verses and see if you can say all of God's people say amen again. Leviticus 18:26. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations. And see, there was a law. Now remember, in the Old Testament, I got to step back, forgive me. In the Old Testament, there was no separation. You understand? In the New Testament, there's separation of church and state. In the Old Testament, it was one. So if you came into Israel, you had to obey all of their laws, not just the moral laws. You had to obey the religious laws too. Got it? The first four. In the church age, it's different on purpose, but you still have to obey some kind of law. The principles are still there. He goes on to say, you're not to commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any foreigner that sojourneth among you. I'm just going to say foreigner, by the way. Again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the foreigner that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Equality, by the way. You say seed to Molech. That's how they did. They would take a baby. Maybe you had a girl baby and you didn't want that girl baby. They'd kill that girl baby. They'd burn that girl baby. They'd put that girl's baby's bones in a little jar and give it to Molech. God says, if you do that, Jew or not Jew, you're out of here. 24:16. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. Remember, no separation. And all the congregation shall surely stone him, as well the foreigner as he that is born in the land. 24:22. I love this, though. You shall have one manner of law, as well for the foreigner as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. It just makes sense, folks. Numbers 15. You shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the foreigner that sojourns among you. Numbers 15:30, just the highlighted part, whether he be born in the land or a foreigner. Numbers 15:15, one ordinance shall be for both, for you of the congregation and also for the foreigner that sojourns with you. An ordinance forever in your generation, as you are, so shall the foreigner be before the Lord. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger or the foreigner that sojourns with you. We got 2 minutes. I'm going to give you these and we'll pick up right here next week. Equality before the law assumes certain things. Number one, there are laws and not merely lawyers. And I tell you what is the problem in America today? If you're honest with yourself, what's the problem? We got lawyers and no laws. We got kids that come to this school that think the judicial system is racist. And I always tell them that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It has nothing to do with being black. It has something to do with the color of green. Everything America was founded on has now been turned upside down, and we have allowed it through law and lawyers. So now it's who can afford the dream team of lawyers to get off of a murder trial? Nothing to do with black or white. It has something to do with money. Sad to say. Shouldn't be that way. And by the way, we have the best lawyers on earth, but we don't have very good laws anymore. And if you don't believe that, try to find abortion and gay marriage in the Constitution. The very fact that someone could open their mouth and say that means it assumes you and I are stupid people. Next, no one is above or outside the law. No one is above or outside the law. Next, law is king. As I have in your notes, and Tom Lex will explain this right after this morning, it's Lex Rex and not Rex Lex. And if you don't know who wrote the books Lex Rex, I would recommend you read it, but you wouldn't get through it. 1600s. You say, what does Lex Rex mean? In England, it had always been Rex Lex. The king was law. And he said, no, 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 no. It's the law is king. But in America, it's not even the king is law. In America, it's celebrities are law. Lastly, law will be enforced. We'll pick up there next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a good beginning, we ask in Christ's name.